What's up? Welcome back to another episode of Best Week Ever. I am your host, Van, and this week I am so lucky I have a returning guest, Noor, from the Reality Is podcast. Super excited to have her on. And before we get started on who we chose for Best and Worst Week Ever winners, I wanted to dip in a little bit about myself and add a new segment to the podcast. I've noticed that a lot of you guys are interested in my life. I am not. I hate talking about myself. The reasons why I started this podcast is because I was very isolated, was going through postpartum. And, you know, I already had like an account where I was always chatting it up with comedians and writers and other podcasters. And I started this because of my love for pop culture and my love for VH1's Best Week Ever TV show, which, by the way, I highly recommend listening to Jesse Klein, who is one of my favorite. She is someone I definitely inspire and look up to. She is a hilarious comedian, writer, voice actor as well, but I mostly known her in Comedy Central when she was up and coming in the early 2000s. Well, she was just on a podcast called Senior Superlatives. Still can't say that, Greta. I'm sorry, but I will see if you guys follow me. If you guys follow me on Instagram, you know that I already posted the story up of Greta and Jesse both being on the podcast, and I just loved listening to Jesse Klein talk about her high school days. I know her best from her memoir, which I highly recommend for everyone to read. Check out her book, You'll Grow Out of It. It's a great memoir about her basically being a tomboy in New York City. And also one of my favorite works that she recently came out with about being a mother. The title of that book is called I'll Show Myself Out, and I highly, highly recommend reading it, especially if you're a first-time mom, a mom in general. Also, if you happen to have a child later in life. I know 32, when I was 32 years old, I felt like I was old having a baby, but who knows? But I really love her writing. I resonate with her so much, especially with her jokes. And yeah, she is the reason why I started this podcast. And my new segment for the podcast now is going to now be what's my best or worst week ever. So I'm going to start off with worst. Guys, worst week ever for me is my venue for my wedding party. As you guys know, I eloped earlier in the year in September. It's coming up my 1 year anniversary. I am so happy, by the way, that I eloped. I have to tell everyone who's engaged or is thinking about having a wedding, no, please stop. Like, stop. You don't need to do all that mess. Please elope. I go back to that day. I think about that day all the time of when I eloped with my husband. We went to San Francisco City Hall, went bar hopping, like walking to our restaurant on the way. And yeah, I just had such a lovely day, just the three of us with our daughter. And then it became just the two of us in the evening when we had our dinner reservations. It was the best day of my life. And now I'm planning this wedding party a year later, which, by the way, I never wanted this. Me and my husband compromised, okay? He really wanted a wedding, and I did not. I've always wanted to elope. So we had to compromise where He will have his wedding party. Our families will both meet a year later. Okay, you'll have your wedding party as long as I have my day by ourselves, no one else. Can you tell why I'm annoying? Anyway, so worst week for my venue. They recently just told me after I paid my DJ, who I am super excited about. I think I'm mostly more excited about that besides the food. There's no DJs allowed on the premises. Like, their contract doesn't allow a DJ to be performing in the venue, but they can, however, do a playlist or have live music, which I'm just like, that is so lame. That's so lame. I love my venue, but this one little disclaimer has really made my week the worst. But talking about best now. Best week ever for me this week. It definitely has to be Noor being on my podcast. I had so much fun with her on this episode. I sound like a giggle. I had like giggly fits throughout the whole entire recording. So, yes, Noor being on my podcast this week was definitely one of my best. And please, without any further ado, here's me and Noor discussing who had the worst and best week ever. Welcome back to another week of Best Week Ever, where we discuss who's having the worst and best week ever in pop culture. This week, I have a returning guest, Noor from The Reality Is. Super excited to have you back. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm doing much better than many people this week.
I know.
Thank you
I
for
can't
having
wait.
me.
We're going to jump into it. Who do you have for your worst week honorable mention?
Oh my God. I had to put so many people here for like a variety of reasons because it's been bad times. Like, I feel like, we talk about honorable mentions, worst week runner up, and then the winner. And I think the winner for me is very clear cut. But I'm going to say, so I have a couple of different people for honorable mention. One of the people I'm going to say is this is probably recurring from last week, which is Ethan Slater. That's his last name. Is it Slater or Slather? I don't know. Is that his last name?
Unfortunately, yes, later.
Slater. which I didn't know was a real last name. I just thought that was a character from Saved by the Bell. Is that a character from Saved by the Bell? It is, right? Slater?
It is, and I also grew up with a Lauren Slater. She was very popular in my high school. So, like, Slater to me, like, the last name has always been like cool until this week.
Is that Jesse Slater? Is that
Yeah,
what that was? Okay.
Jesse
Yeah.
Slater, yeah.
All right. Well, Ethan Slater continues to have a pretty bad week because last week, obviously, like it was all this, or 2 weeks ago, it was the stuff about Ariana Grande coming out. Like everybody's like, oh my God, he left his wife. And then last week, his ex-wife started to get in the press and like tell everybody like what a dog shit person he is. And this week, Ariana Grande said, you know what? I need a little bit of space from you.
She definitely pulled that meme that was circulating all over like Twitter of the Samantha
Sex and the
Jones,
City.
like, I left my wife and she's like, who is this? Like, it that was Ariana Grande to a T.
Was so good. It was so good. So I feel like he was having a pretty bad week. I also think the girl who threw a drink on Cardi B at the concert is it's up there. She's having a pretty bad week because the first, like, by the way, there was a point this weekend. So I had the flu last weekend and I was just in bed. Like, all I did was catch up on. I watched the other two on HBO. It's very good, but like, tragically canceled for actually being like a super toxic work environment. Anyway, great show though. But I was like binging that. I was just in bed. And I was just, you know, when you're sick, you're tapping through like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, texts, right? Like you're just tapping through those apps. And like every time I would go on Twitter, my entire feed was like just the clip of Cardi B throwing the mic at people. And like there were so many different camera angles. And then they released the one camera angle of the girl, like of like the person in the crowd who's like standing right in front of the girl who threw the drink. And then they turn around and the girl's like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. She gets pelted down with the mic. And I was like, man, not only like it wasn't just that you threw a drink on Cardi B and she threw a mic on you. It has been captured in every single camera angle possible. And like, how embarrassing for you. So I feel like she's having a pretty bad week.
Instant regret when she realized what she just did. I was waiting for that frontal camera, whoever. I was wanting to see who the woman was because we only saw the back of her head. And yeah, Cardi B, she's been looking great, by the way.
Yes.
Like with every angle, I'm like, Cardi looks amazing.
It looks so good, even when she's pissed. She fixes her hair. Like after she throws the mic, she like fixes her hair and like she's phenomenal. So I feel like she's having a pretty bad one. And then another person that was in my honorable mention, which is a very housewife specific, is Erin from The Real Housewives of New York. So
yes. Okay, so I love this because I have a theory. Continue.
So you know, last week, so we had Roni premiere, the new Roni. Everybody's like, oh, these girls seem great. Either you hated it or you loved it. There was like no in between. And then everybody's like picking their favorites and immediately comes out the Erin, who is like a 34-year-old from New York, like a young person from New York, is not just a Republican, but she is a Trump Republican. And she's not just a Trump Republican. She's a Trump Republican who donated to his campaign after the 2020 elections, which means that she was trying to like donate for the recount, like stop the steal, you know?
So she donated 4 times, by the way. I just found out.
Yes.
Which I thought it was one entry and that was it. But because of the way she just like zipped it, but like doesn't really take accountability that she did do it. So it's like left up in the air, like, well, did you donate the $400? And it was $100 each time after the election.
Exactly. And so she donated and that comes out. And then this week she's like, I'm going to make a statement. And then there's a statement made that is absolutely nothing. Like all the statement says is, I think that President Joe Biden was elected fairly. I recognize that he's the president of this country. I am not an election denier. And it's like, okay, so you're not an election denier, but you still just were like voting. You were just donating to Trump. Like, why? Like, it's just, so I feel like she really tried to like clean up, right? She tried to do some like damage control and it was just like the most flop damage control I've ever seen in my life. So it's just like, it seems like she's probably having a pretty bad week.
Well, she's been a flop since the beginning of the series. I know we're only up to episode 2, but like, hear me out. I don't know if you've seen you have seen the latest episode because I've heard you and Artie talk about it. Guys, listen to the recap. It was hilarious.
Thank you.
The fact that these ladies were hungry and that's what brought out like their real selves. Like Erin's is such a bad like hostess, like no food ever in her house. Like she is the type of woman who has beverages only in her refrigerator.
Yeah. And it's like, it's weird because when Brynn finally gets around to opening that ridiculous fridge, it just seems like it's filled with like condiments. It's like a condiments fridge, you know? It's like when you go to an Airbnb and like, you know, a lot of people have stayed there because you open the fridge and it's just like filled with a variety of sauces. And you're like, how old are these sauces? Nobody cleaned out the fridge. That's the vibe I was getting from that fridge. And it is so, it's offensive. It's offensive that you host a party at your house, a girl's weekend at your house with nothing but Pringles and caviar. And even that, I would have been like, where is the Pringles that you, somebody must have left some. Do you have Goldfish crackers? I need snacks. Like, especially during a girls' weekend.
I mean, we do like always kind of trash on the fact that charcuterie boards are like so oversaturated in the Housewives franchise. But like, yeah, I think they definitely deserve like some type of charcuterie board in that scene. Especially in the morning, like just a spread. Like, I couldn't believe it.
I'm just shocked that there was like you don't have, like, I'm mad at her for obviously donating to Trump, but I'm mostly mad at her for not feeding her guests, because like it's also like you grew up in Jersey. We're like, it's very, when you grew up in Jersey, you're also very entwined with like Italian culture and it's Jewish so culture. True.
Northern New Jersey for sure. Like
Northern, exactly.
Like, we wake up like, what are we having for food? Yes.
Exactly. And so you like, and a lot of the culture up here is like a big food culture, right? Like if it doesn't matter if you're Hispanic or South Asian or Jewish or Italian or whatever, like there's a big food culture here. And I feel like it's shocking, especially for like an Israeli Jewish person, to wake up in the morning and not have a spread out for your friends. Like, I don't give a fuck if you were going to make shakshuka later, but like, where are the bagels? Where is the fruit? You don't have like a yogurt for your guests? Like, what is this?
No, I can't believe she's a mom. Like,
yes.
Like, she doesn't give me mom vibes, like, because I would have been taking care of everyone's needs there.
Yes, absolutely.
But my little theory is, I don't know if you've seen in the news about Brynn not paying her taxes right yes. now. And I really feel that Aaron tried to like get her PR people to like, you know, because like throwing shade to Brynn, I obviously thought of like, oh, like Aaron's been having a tough, you know, premiere with Roni and like having her history of donating to the Republican side. I really do think that this Brynn news, which is really nothing, like we shouldn't be paying our taxes anyway, like good for Brynn.
Yes. Yeah. Unpopular opinion, but actually very popular opinion. I feel like the government takes enough from us. Thanks.
Yeah. And like, I've seen Brynn's house and yeah, I don't think she deserves to pay the taxes, but I really do think that Aaron's people was like the one that like leaked that part of the news.
Yeah, that is actually a very, I think it's a viable theory. I agree with that.
For my worst week honorable mentions, I have a few people too, but it all relates to one thing, is obviously that deaths, like Paul Rubens, who played Pee Wee Herman, died from cancer at the age of 70. He was also, I loved him because I am an indie emo little girl from the Jack White, the Raconeers. He was on Steady As She Goes music video and on the movie Blow. Also, Angus Cloud, who passed away at 25. His father passed away a week before Angus passing. He played Fez on Euphoria, and I love how he was found in Oakland when he was discovered to play Fez. And there hasn't been any news release of his cause of death. And also Sinead O'Connor. I know this is last week news and I didn't touch on it, but yeah, she was 56 years old. I did not know that she was that young. This comes a year and a half after her son completed suicide. And I know her to be as like a feminist force in the mental health awareness. And yeah, it was like an awful week for us millennials and even like Gen Xers to find this news. I know Pee Wee Herman, pretty much every artist I grew up with had an effect with Pee Wee Herman and involving their taste of like Rilo Kiley, Jenny Lewis.
Yes.
I think of the Get Up Kids. I'm sorry, guys. I'm that emo, where they have a line from like, I'm a loner, Dottie Rebel. And also Au Revoir Simone. Like, there's a really indie band that I grew up with that said that their title is from the Pee Wee Herman movie. So yeah, like when we talk about pop culture, Pee Wee Herman is definitely up there on inspiration when it comes to like today's artists. But do you have any like thoughts on like, you know, Paul Rubens, Angus Cloud, Sinead O'Connor? I know Angus Cloud has really been, I think, the most effective of the week when it
Yeah.
comes to like these deaths.
Well, that was like the same day too, right? It was like I woke up and I was like, oh no, Pee Wee Herman, like what? And then immediately, like a couple hours later, it was like I saw like Fez and Euphoria trending. And I just thought, oh, okay, maybe there's like a trailer out or they're filming. And then fucking I saw that he passed away. And I was like, are you kidding me? So that was really upsetting. I do have to say about Sinead O'Connor, like, I think that she is somebody who, when we talk about like, when we talk about nowadays, you know, there's a lot of discussion about like women in the public sphere and how celebrities, female celebrities are treated, and especially like in the music industry or like young women in the music industry, right? And I think Sinead O'Connor was one of those first women, like in the early 90s, when she went on SNL and ripped up a picture of the Pope, and she was talking her entire music career. Like she was blowing up, and then she did that thing with the Pope, the picture of the Pope on SNL. And her entire career after that was dedicated to bringing awareness to sexual abuse in religious organizations. And it's crazy because here we are now, 30 years later, everybody knows this to be true. Everybody knows, even now, like even now, we are still fighting with people who want to claim that trans people and queer people are groomers, are the ones that are actually groomers within religious institutions. We know so much of this now. And here's this woman 30 years ago in the prime of her career, risking her entire career to like get the message out. And she's been such a fucking rebel. Like she was amazing. She actually converted to Islam. A couple of years ago. So she became really popular in like the Sufi Muslim scene where she talks so much about like religion and her relationship with the religion. And like there would be times when she would be in interviews with like her hair covered in a hijab. And then there would be times when she wouldn't. And she would always say like how it's my choice and it's how I do religion. And I just found it to be so like refreshing because she, even the way that she practiced the religion was such a rebellious feminist way. And so it was just like such a shame that she passed away. It was just so sad. I was just like, oh God, like, I don't know. Like, it makes me sad because I don't know if she knew, right, that like how important she was to certain people. And I think that she didn't get enough time to get like redemption. Like, I think that there's probably going to be documentaries at some point that talk about like the mistreatment of Sinead O'Connor, right? Like we talk about the mistreatment of like Britney Spears and like young teen icons and stuff and like exploitations in the music industry. I feel like we didn't get to give her that redemption while she was alive. So it's a shame that she passed away. But like I wish she could have seen all the people that like she touched, you know, like after she passed away, like you saw so many people talking about her. So that was one that really affected me.
I know. I feel like that will be coming soon, some sort of docuseries of Sinead O'Connor, just because Phoebe Bridgers has come out where she commented on like it's abuse when artists are not allowed to like actually voice their opinions. And like Sinead was very vocal on political and religious opinions. And yeah, I remember I am not Catholic, but I remember I did my like my con not my confirmation but like my what's it called, communion. And I just remember growing up being told that Sinead was bad in the community. And I was, and like
Yeah.
growing up finding out as a teenager, because you know that's when I really got into music and finding the history of like my artists, finding out that like she's not bad and she was actually like overthrown for like just vocally pointing things out. And yeah, I you're so right. She's not going to live to see her redemption, because just like I said, she was 56 years old. I can't believe how young she was.
Yeah.
Let's move on to worst week runner up. Who do you have on your list?
You know, I was gonna say Donald Trump, because bitch got indicted for a third time. But then today, apparently, there's like these tapes that were released of like Giuliani's sexual harassment case.
Wait, what tapes? I'm finding this out now.
So it was like I was waiting to pick up my kids from camp and I like opened up Twitter and I just got a glimpse of it and hold on, let me try to see if I can find it. I think essentially what's happening with Giuliani is that there is like a sexual harassment case and apparently like he was recorded or something. Hold on, let me try to see
This
if I can find
isn't
it.
like his first case either, though. Wasn't there news like after 2020 where like a woman resurfaced about a harassment against Giuliani? Like
Yeah,
he.
I feel like every few years something like this comes out. But I think, okay, Rudy Giuliani's former assistant, Noelle Dunphy, who accused the former New York mayor of sexual abuse, harassment, and wage theft, has filed a series of transcripts and audio files. So a bunch of these transcripts came out and they're just so fucking like he's just the worst person. Like there's a lot of really fucked up stuff. He's obviously a sexual assault, a sexual harasser. But on top of that, he's xenophobic. He's anti-Semitic. He talks about Jewish people. He talks about just all kinds of really fucked up stuff. It's really, really bad. He makes homophobic remarks about actors. Like it's just like off the chart. Like truthfully, I read through it and it seems like so crazy that somebody would say something like this that it almost feels like an SNL skit. But it's real. And I think that because it's so real, but it's also like, of course he talks this way. Like, I would never expect him to talk any other way. Like, this seems like the kind of stuff he would say.
I
You know
can't
what I mean?
believe the proof is out there now. Because it's always been out there of like just how he mistreats women and his like side conversations of his mannerism of talking about New York City. And
Yes.
yeah, the xenophobism of it all. Yeah, I just now we have it out there. Now
Yeah,
we know.
there we go. Exactly. I saw a tweet that said Rudy Giuliani is one creepy ass little goblin, and I feel like that's really accurate.
I like an image of him just appeared. Yeah, he is a goblin. Ugh.
Yeah, but still, I still give my worst week runner up to Donald Trump, because we got another indictment and I'm like, okay, now what are we doing?
I know, it's like what does this mean to us now, because we don't really see anything happening besides like the paperwork.
Yeah, exactly. I did hear that the judge that's going to be like ruling on the case is a black woman, so I feel like that doesn't bode well for him, and I'm really excited for this black woman to save America in whatever way she can. But you know, maybe we need to stop relying on black women to keep saving America.
Truly. Yes. Worst week runner up for me, I have to unfortunately give it to Lizzo, who has been sued by three former dancers for sexual harassment, and the artist plus production created a hostile environment. The story is when the dancers went out with Lizzo a night out in Amsterdam, they went to a nude performers club. Okay, and this one is actually pretty bad. Lizzo allegedly shamed one of the dancers for gaining weight and firing her. A filmmaker has also come out with her experience working with Lizzo before she quit after 2 weeks. Her name is Sophia Nally Allison. She quoted that she was treated with so much disrespect. She was supposed to direct her documentary. This was several years ago as well. And it has now become bad, because you know it's over when Queen Beyonce cuts your name out of the song Break My Soul. So those accusations have to be somewhat true. I have to link in, I don't know if you've heard of Aphrodite. He's like this pop culture tarot reader into astrology, but he has done like the Ariana Grande with Ethan Slater, if you want to have a laugh on that, because Ariana Grande is going to be unscathed. Like she's going to leave this situation like unscathed, like no scuff on her whatsoever. Meanwhile, Ethan's whole life is in a crumble. But yeah, Aphrodite like did the whole Lizzo and I just think that Lizzo had a diva moment with these ladies and it's not looking good for Lizzo. It's probably not going to look good for Lizzo for a couple months for the rest of this year.
Yes, for sure. It's a shame because that Lizzo is my worst week winner.
Nice.
Because
yeah. Did you hear any? Because I've also seen videos, TikTok videos of the dancers, but I've also seen your Twitter where, I guess one of the dancers was talking about like God loves you, and yeah, I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. Like, what did I just watch?
Yeah. So the woman that. So it's two people who have been accused of it. So it's Lizzo, and then the lead of her production team or her dance captain was this woman. And one of the things that they were accused of, or this dance captain was accused of, was trying to convert the dancers and then also sexually harassing the dancers. And so this woman who's been accused of it went on TikTok or Instagram this morning and did like yesterday morning and did this really, really grating video of like, just saying like, God loves you. I just want to tell you that like, God loves you guys. Don't forget. God loves you. And God died for your sins. Like he loves you. And I was like, oh, God, like you have never been more guilty in your life than when you are accused of something. And then you go online the next day and act like you are blessed by the Lord. Okay. That's when we know that you have really fucked up. But like, this was so disappointing. It was so deeply disappointing. And you're absolutely right. That was the other kicker is like, okay, so your dance captain is out here acting like I'm sealed by the Christ, by the blood of Christ, and nobody can touch me. I'm like, oh, you're fucked. And then the other thing is when Beyonce, and apparently like Beyonce cut out, she doesn't say Lizzo's name now at the concert, but she's apparently been doing it not just since this news came out. She's been doing it for the last week at all of her shows. So Ooh. People are posting videos of her shows in Chicago where she had been not saying Lizzo's name.
I want to ask like, Tom now and Kix, because they were in East Rutherford
yes.
this past week, if she said it now. Like, I want to investigate.
Yeah. And I thought I had seen one video where she just says Badu, Badu, Badu over and over again because of all the stuff that was coming out with Erykah Badu saying that like Beyonce is, you know, stealing her style.
Hat, which yeah. I feel like anyone can buy a hat like that. Stealing, yeah. But okay, Erykah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Abraham Lincoln would like a word. Okay. Like, so I thought, oh, okay. She's being like cute and like tongue in cheek because obviously like, she's giving all the credit to Erykah Badu now, right? Like, okay, Erykah, you want to talk about me? Like, then let me just give you the attention that you're looking for, right? So right. I thought she was being tongue in cheek, but then there's a bunch of videos out where she literally seals her mouth shut. She is mute and she's not saying it. I was like, oh my God. Like Lizzo, you really fucked up. And you know, I'm sure like the dancers that are involved in Beyonce's concert, like a lot of these dancers know each other. Like
oh yeah, the community dancing. Is really yeah. small when it goes to like backup dancers. Like I've learned from J-Lo.
Yes. So like I feel like if you know, I'm sure Beyonce knew about it, and this is not good for Lizzo. It's just a shame because I've been playing the Barbie soundtrack in my car for my kids, and they're like, "Is this Lizzo?" I'm like, "Yeah, we love Lizzo." Like we're gonna skip right over to the Dua Lipa song. Oh, by the way, this morning I saw a thing that she's getting sued for Levitate. Apparently she like didn't pay somebody the money that they are owed for that song, and I was like, it's bad. Ben Shapiro put a hex on the Barbie soundtrack because this is not good.
Oh my God, the shade. And I can't believe Dua Lipa not paying a production. You know what, they don't go after male artists. Like I don't yeah. see Justin Bieber being told that, and I'm pretty sure he's walked off on bills.
Oh, for sure.
But dang, yeah, this is really bad for Lizzo. My worst week winner actually is the Atencione pickpocket lady. She got oh, yeah. choked in. This internet star this summer for crusading against petty crime in the streets of Venice. It's been remixed into a song and have been used for memes and fun manners, but we have now found out that the woman behind it all is a corrupt person. She is not as progressive as we thought she is. She's a counselor for Liga Nord, which is a conservative political party that is heavily associated with the far right politics. Their leader is infamous for attacking on Islam, gay marriage, and he is also known for drawing attention international news when he turned away a boat of 600 African refugees in 2015. So this pickpocket woman is looking less charming, according to some commentators. She campaigns on racist harassment against the Roma community. She racially profiles people, quoting, "When I see them, I know they are pickpocketers. It's strange to say I have something inside me, racism, and I recognize immediately." This was really sad to hear for me because I had so much fun just saying atencione pickpocket. I got pickpocketed at the boardwalk. Someone just took my boardwalk card. I was so upset that I was like, this is my fault because I've been looking at, like, I've been trying to say atencione pickpocket at the boardwalk. But yeah, what are your thoughts on this?
Oh my God, I was so upset about that too, because I thought atencione pickpocket was so funny that I would want to shout it to like my family members. But then yeah, the New York Times does an article and immediately it's like, this woman is a fucking racist. Like her, like what we think is like charming and silly and like so fun, it's like, no, actually she's a xenophobic monster and she just fucking yells at people in the streets and videotapes them. She's a worst kind of person. Like what we think is like a, you know, an act of like what was the word, like a good Samaritanism, she's not. She's actually just attacking people. She's like the worst kind of Karen. So like, not good.
Non-activist. Yeah. Did you know yes. She's been doing this for 30 years, apparently? Like, she's been calling out pickpocketers for 30 years.
Good God.
I would hate her. Like, I live in a very touristy area. So, like, if I, like, knew a person like this in my town, I would hate her.
Yes, absolutely. We know, and we all know, like we've all, like especially New Jersey, like you know exactly the kind of lady she is. Like she is,
yes.
she's a lady in North Jersey who's like, my family's been living in this town for like 60 years and it never was bad like this. And now suddenly it's so bad. It's like, just say that you don't like the black and brown people who moved into your neighborhood, lady. Like we know exactly who she is and she sucks.
Oh, it's so true. Yeah, it's so disappointing to find out about pickpocket, but I will still listen to the music. It's that and the one margarita this summer has really been like killing me.
I love that song. Love
it. It's so, like, just the videos of it all, I'm just like, people are so creative. I love it out here at the same time while like aliens are like taking over the world.
Yes, exactly.
All right, let's move on to our best week category. Best week honorable mentions. I'll go first. Season 2 of Special Forces. Never seen the first season, but this cast has me interested. There's Jojo Siwa, Black China, Tom Sandoval, Brian Austin Green, Jack Osborne, Nick Viall, Tara Reid, which you had me at Tara Reid, and Tyler Cameron, which is like the total babe that I still lust for from the Bachelor franchise. They are training in the mountains of New Zealand in freezing temperatures. And yeah, I'm totally down for this show. Have you seen the first one? Because I know Kenya was in the first one.
You know, I haven't seen the first one, but how do I say this? Anything that's like military adjacent makes me uncomfortable. It's like, what's racist but not racist, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like one of those things. It's a way the American flag makes me feel. I'm like, oh, I feel uneasy. I don't want to watch this. Like, congratulations on your physical strength, but like something about like special forces, I'm like, what are you gonna do, raid a village in Afghanistan? Like, what is this? Like, that is what makes me. So I have not watched it, but I do think that it's funny to see. It'll be interesting because obviously they've cast Tom Sandoval because of the popularity of Scandoval, and they want to, like, it's duh, of course they did. So congratulations to them for getting that, like that get, I guess. But I'm not gonna watch it, even though I do love Tara Reid. And I did have to Google this Tyler Cameron dude, who is very handsome. But I mean, good for them, I guess. Good luck with them and their I guess ratings. I know that Schwartz was on like the other Fox show, The Mission to Mars, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I haven't heard anyone seeing that.
No. The only thing I've heard about it is that like what's his name, Armstrong, Lance Armstrong, is like a real monster. He's like a real like, I'm a good white guy with good views, but actually they're not good views at all. You know, like
when a
well,
man says he's good, guys, red flag. Like a good man does not state out how good he is. Like it's yes. awful.
Yes, exactly. Good, being a good man involves being like, men are shit and you shouldn't probably be listening to me. Like if they need to disclaimer that when they say that they're, you know, actually good men, because if they're not admitting that men are terrible, then they're not a good man. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I haven't watched that one, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure I'll watch a couple of clips that show up on my timeline and stuff, but congratulations to Fox, I guess.
Yeah, they do need to change the name because, like, it is military. I don't even think it's military base since they're in New Zealand. It's just like a boot camp of just them going through, like, yeah, a boot camp kind of a style.
Okay.
Who's your best week honorable mention?
It's a couple different people. I am very happy for Cardi B. She's flexing her arms and she's throwing those mics, and I'm just really happy for her because, like you said earlier, she looks so good. And it's just one of those situations where everybody's on her side. Like, I think that somebody, there was like a report that she's going to be, somebody tried to press charges against her for battery, and everybody was like, why? Like, she deserved to throw that mic at that lady. Like, it's one of these situations where it's like, yes, beat her ass with that mic, please. And look good doing it. So I was happy for her. I'm happy for Ethan Slater's ex-wife who keeps winning. Obviously, when she saw that news that Ariana Grande.
Say her name, Lily James.
Oh, sorry, Lily. Yes. That Ariana Grande said, hey, I need some space. That was really great. Ariana Grande also is having a great week because, like you mentioned, with this Lizzo stuff coming into the picture, we forgot that Ariana Grande stuff even happened. So, and then another person who I think is having a great week is the guy who spent $22,000 on a dog suit to look like a border collie.
Oh my God, what the fuck? I saw that and I didn't read the caption and I was like, why is everybody making this? Why is this trending like this dog? And then to realize that it was a person.
Somebody from China spent $22,000 to make a very realistic dog suit to look like a border collie and then went on walks outside and was like so happy. And I was like, you know what? You're not hurting anyone. And I think it's weird, but like, I guess $22,000 well spent because I didn't know that that was a person.
And I didn't know that, like, I want to get in the business of making like dog suits now, like $22,000. Like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious. And yeah, the Cardi B, first of all, in any court ruling, if they were to see the video, they will clearly side with Cardi B because that woman was the first one to throw hands.
Exactly.
She was just retaliating. It's hilarious. I actually have Cardi B as my runner up because I feel like more artists should be fighting back, especially if this is going to be trending now, throwing things at artists. But yeah, I don't want to condone violence, but if this trend is going to be trending, bitch, I'm ready. This yes. comes after her new song with Offset has premiered, and about her rumors with her relationship with Offset, but the threat of her perfectly always aiming her throw, it deserves a best week. Have you seen the thread?
Yes. Yes.
I'll put it in the show notes, guys, because it is worth a watch. It goes all the way back to Love and Hip Hop when she was yes. in the reality show. She's always had a good arm.
Exactly.
Who is your best week runner-up?
My best week runner-up is Carlos King and NeNe Leakes. Because even though I disagree with them on that podcast about approximately every single thing that they said, I feel like congratulations for you getting your time in the sun.
The both maybe of not, them.
Yeah, to both of them. Now that it's all out, maybe we could just put it to rest and move on with our lives.
I could not believe that she was blaming her astrological sign for her behavior with Bravo and Andy. What are your thoughts? Because I know you've been tweeting about it, but like, you, let's let the audience know.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So NeNe leaks. This has been like a two-parter. Last week there was like one part of it with Carlos King where, again, she didn't really say a lot. I don't think that she gave us any new information. She talked a little bit about how much money she made and her process of like making Real Housewives of Atlanta and like some of the beefs from like the first season and her relationships with like the first season cast and everything like that. This week they really got into like her relationship with Bravo and all of that kind of stuff, her relationship with the current cast and everything. And when it got to Andy Cohen, she really had the nerve to be like, you know what, I'm just a Sagittarius who you know, got a little hot and now I'm over it, and like, you know what happened happened, but like I would like to be in a better place with him now. And it just was wild to me because she called the network racist, which I believe she has the right to, because they probably are, like most institutions. She called Andy a cokehead, which we know him to be. And she took them to court, which she had all right to do. She absolutely should have taken them to court. But like to do that and then say like, well, what happened happened. I'm just like a fiery Sagittarius and like we should just move on. No, like stand in your truth. Say that. I don't think that we can go back from that. I believe that what I believe. I don't think that, like, admit the fact that people might not want to forgive you for that, and that's okay. And you don't have to forgive them, but you can also just be like, they don't mean anything to me. For her to stand there and just say like, oh, maybe one day we could like come together, or maybe like one day I could be back on Atlanta and I'd come back for the fans and not the money, but the money would have to be right. Like, NeNe, let it go. Like, either say that you are done with the show and give us the reasons for why you're done with the show, or then say, you know what, like, admit to the fact that like you were not easy to film with. You don't want to show up to group events. You never wanted to play nice. You never opened up. Like, admit those things. But she's not taking any accountability at all for any of the stuff that went down over her last few seasons. And it's just a shame, because the thing about NeNe is that like, it's such a shame that she's not doing those things, because she's so fucking watchable. Like, she's so entertaining. I could watch her talk for hours, right? She's so captivating. She's got such a cool backstory. Like, this woman was on Glee and she was on Broadway and she used to be a stripper in Atlanta. Like, she came up from nothing. And I think that she's absolutely has this incredible story to tell. But NeNe also wants the world to worship her. And it's almost like a Bethany level type thing. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it's a shame, because she is such a gift to us. But I just feel like she is doing this all wrong. And even though I said that she's having the best week ever, the reason why is because like we're all remembering why we love her. But I also think that like, all right, you guys said your piece. I think that we can now move on.
Yeah, I mean, she is gold TV, and she definitely put Carlos King in the map.
Mm-hmm.
Because people ran to that podcast as soon as everyone started finding out that she was talking about Bravo and Andy Cohen and the lawsuit, amid the rumors of her son too. And yeah, I was waiting for a I said what I said moment, you know, mm-hmm. of accountability. But yeah, the fact that she kind of just like fleetingly brushed it under the rug, like, yeah, I was crazy. Like, not even that, though. Like, we didn't even get like I was crazy. She just kind of like did a no big deal.
Just. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which I think is like it's such a cop out to me. It's like, really stand in it then. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll see if Andy saw it or listened to it. I notice more and more, like, I don't think Andy is in the know as much as we think that he's in the know. I don't really think he listens to podcasts or like reviews or watches certain franchises of the Bravo lineup. I really do think that he tries to keep his knows out of things, because he would probably spiral.
Oh, yeah. And also, dad's tired. Okay. Yeah. Daddy's tired. He's got two kids. He's flying coast to coast. You could tell how exhausted he is by hosting the reunions. You could tell on Watch What Happens Live that he was like, just fucking tell me something in my ear and I'll say it. Like, he is showing up. He's doing what NeNe did her last few seasons. Like, they're just tired. And and I agree. I don't think that he really is in the know. And I think he gets like a assistant to give him some notes on most things, and
yeah,
that's about it.
Yeah, give that assistant a raise, please, Andy.
Yeah.
I forgot that I wanted to add another honorable mention. I don't know if you've heard about this before we move on to our best week winners, but Gwyneth Paltrow is Airbnb-ing her guest house. The strike is really affecting the top celebs, guys. Has announced her guest house is available at Airbnb. She will be hosting. The price has not been available, guys. I have it already ready on my phone to see what it would cost for one night stay. I'm pretty sure she's going to be that bitch that's like, no, you have to stay 3 nights at my
Oh, of course.
My villa. But this is great for stalkers because I don't want people at my house. Good for her. I really don't think that she'll actually stay there, but yeah, I'm interested to see all the reviews, the fact that she's leaving Goop products in the bathroom. Like, I love this for Gwenny. She's crazy.
I mean, honestly, it's a choice. I can't believe that she would do that. Like, are you that starved for, like, people? Like, what's going on? Like, and you know, it's so funny because it's like people are always like, oh, celebrities want their privacy and all that stuff. It's like, this is an absolute example of like Gwyneth Paltrow. She wants the attention. She wants the attention. She will keep doing absurd things like this, like her vagina candle and all the other silly shit that she does because she loves the attention.
Yeah, I'm very much like Whoopi, where I'm just like, I don't want people in my damn house. And like, I give her kudos for allowing people to just roam her estate.
You know, Whoopi Goldberg lives in my town in New Jersey.
No, she doesn't. I know
she does.
Jersey, but I didn't know she like lived in northern New Jersey.
Oh yeah, she lives in West Orange, and she is she lives in like the old she live I think she lives like between West Orange and Montclair, but like technically where she lives is called West Orange, but it might just be like part of, oh, you know, like Montclair has like those like old estate type looking houses. And it's like right by West Orange and like South Orange and that whole area. So she has a house there. And I know this because she's also like been in line at like the really good bagel spot in our town. And nobody bothers her because Whoopi does not want to be bothered. And like, and people in Jersey, I feel like respect that. Like we know.
Oh yeah. No, I know as well as Queen Latifah. I remember, my neighbor was like, we met Queen Latifah, and you can just tell that, like, you don't go up to her. Like, you mind your own business. Like, she doesn't like the attention. But I love that Whoopi lives in West Orange. I know another comedian. He's been on Comedy Central. I've heard him in a couple podcasts, too. He lives in West Orange. It's like a poppin' place right now.
It is a poppin' place right now. Not my neighborhood. My neighborhood has nobody important besides myself, I guess. Actually, that's not true. One of the kids in my kid's school, their dad was like a series regular on The Americans.
Oh my God, this is so in par with the and just like that right now with Charlotte. Because I don't watch The Americans, but that should be a really big deal.
I love The Americans. It's one of our favorite shows. And like one time I was picking up my son from school because we live close enough to the elementary school where we're walkers. So I was like standing there and I'm like, oh, okay. Like my son was like, oh yeah, that's my friend from class. And I'm like, oh, he's so sweet. He's like such a nice kid. He's like one of my favorite little kids. And I saw his like parents and I was like, what? Dad looks so familiar. And then when I was doing my son's like birthday invitations, you know, I was like looking up people's like Facebooks and stuff, like parents' Facebooks or their phone numbers, so I could like get an email address or whatever. And I came across the dad's Facebook and I was like, this man looks so familiar. And then I saw that he was an actor. So I like went on IMDb and I was like, holy shit, you are a series regular from one of mine and my husband's absolute favorite TV shows. And then, but then I thought to myself, what are you doing in West Orange? And then I was like, this is why we need the strike, guys. Because, like, you can't be living in the same neighborhood as me if you are a series regular with fucking Felicity, okay? Like,
yeah, talk about gentrification. Like, to me, you're so right. Like, I would not want, I have, actually, she's born and raised here, but, like, everybody just thrives on the fact that she still lives here. Marissa Miller, she was in, like, Sports Illustrated, like, she's a top model. Like, I think it's so weird that her and I shop at the same, like, store, and I'll see her there sometimes, or eat at the same restaurant. I'm like, no, you deserve to be in LA. Like, why are you?
Oh my God. I just Google imaged her. Yes, of course. What is she doing? It's like, it's so funny when you see, like, because we have in New Jersey, we have like other garbage people, right? Like, we've got Snooki. Like, Snooki goes to the same Trader Joe's as me. Like, that's not a big deal to me because Snooki's like a Jersey staple, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
Tiki Barber and his wife, like, were like sad, like, hanger-oners from like Jersey a couple seasons ago. Like, they also go to the same Trader Joe's. I've mentioned this on my podcast before. Kevin Jonas's kids go to the same camp as my kids. So it's like, it's like we have these like random people that like, you're like, you, it makes me feel weird because it's like, am I more successful or are you not as successful? Because like, why do we share the same grocery store? What's going on here? You know?
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. I love that we were talking about NeNe Leakes and we got to this conversation. I love the tangents of it all.
Yes.
But yeah, we were talking about Gwyneth Paltrow's Airbnb. I had to sneak that up there. But who is your best week ever winner?
Aliens.
Yes.
The aliens are so happy. They're like, thank you, Lizzo. Thank you, Trump. Thank you, Giuliani. Thank you,
thank
girl.
Thank you, climate change.
Thank you, climate change. It's like that song, Atlantis song. It's, that's what it is. Thank you, India. It's like all of the things, you know? The aliens are an afterthought at this point. The aliens are like, oh, okay, I thought that there was going to be a bigger deal. We watched a couple of your movies and we thought that you guys would be more scared, but no big deal. Like, they don't even
really
care.
Like, I feel like Mitchell McConnell, I think it's just really odd that the same week that we find out about aliens, Mitch McConnell had like a breakdown in the middle of a conference where I was just like, oh, so like they really are like mind controlling us right now. And I'm hoping that they're on our side. I said this last week where I'm in the alien side because the government here treats us like trash, and I can only imagine what they're doing to aliens in real life, the government. So I just want to side with the aliens and tell them that I am with them.
Yes, absolutely.
But I feel like the aliens are just like literally at a club right now saying like, yeah, man, like, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, they're going to be on like that stupid Vanderpump Valley spinoff show, I'm sure, like in two seasons. They're going to be like, oh yeah, also an alien moved in next to Jax. So now we're also filming them.
The strike is going to be so bad that they're going to have alien reality TV next on Bravo, guys. Like, watch, it's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? You make a great point. Like, we know how people at the border are treated. We know how immigrants are treated in this country. We know that the aliens are getting way worse. And it's fucked up because they are definitely a much smarter, like, people or whatever existence than us. I also think it's fucked up when people are like, oh, aliens are like hideous or whatever. And it's like, I saw a TikTok where somebody was like, you look like shit when you come off of like, when you drive from New Jersey to Long Island. Like, give them a break. They have traveled galaxies to get here. And then you're going to complain that they're ugly. Like, that's fucked up. Give them time to freshen up. Give them time to like take a shower.
Truly, I would be a Disney alien movie. Like, I would welcome them. Like, yes, I would have food for them. I'm sure they won't like it. They'll probably eat something weird, but I am team aliens all the way. And yeah, I'm totally on their side.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, help me, please.
Yes. Help me be better. Like, let me help you so you can help me.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want me to teach you how to drive? I can do that. I have a guest room. Oh my God, Gwyneth Paltrow just put up her Airbnb. A great place where you could stay.
And you know that their trades would be good. Like, make me look young. I'm pretty sure they have like a lot of tricks up their sleeves that they've had to observe us for this long that they know what we're gullible for.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a great best week winner. My best week winner is actually a personal one and a thank you to you, because I've never ever heard of these two ladies. You've introduced me to the ladies of I've Had It, great podcast name, but I've also missed the window of watching their show on Bravo. But these two ladies are hilarious, and thank you, Nora, for introducing them to my life. But this is not their best week winner. My best week winner is to Yolanda Pfister, the yes. Twitter account of trolling. And I just love the reveal of this account, because I've been following them before they even got big on the podcast. And this tweet went viral where people really thought that it was real, and I was cracking up. But before all this happened, they're really funny on Twitter with reality TV satire, but their tweet went viral and the ladies talked about it on their podcast. And I love that it kind of went pop culture viral.
Fly to New York, Pumps and me. And then the very next morning we get up and we have our hair and makeup done.
Right.
Our publicist comes to our hotel room, Mara.
Yeah.
And we have a car that's going to drive us to the Today Show.
Right.
You know, because we need a car because we can't schlep in 100-degree heat.
Right.
Get our makeup ruined, etc. So there is this Instagram account called Yolanda Pfister. Okay.
Okay.
And Yolanda Pfister is like a parody satire account. And Yolanda Pfister tweeted a picture of us that Mara, our publicist, took of us when we were in the car
right.
on the way. And she tweeted it, like, taking my girls to the Today Show or whatever. Well, Yolanda finds this image, and then she pops up a tweet, and it says, I'm an Uber driver, and I was telling my passengers about how much I can't afford to feed my five children. These women then tipped me $2,500 each for their journey, which will buy my family groceries for an entire week. I'm so grateful to these kind souls. So I see this. I instantly know it's satire. And I screenshot it, listener, and I send it to Kylie and Pumps, which Pumps immediately responds, that's not true.
But I was just like, did I have a stroke? I mean, what happened?
Pumps wasn't the only person that fell prey to this. I want to read to you all some of the responses that Yolanda Pfister got on this tweet, because they are absolute gold. So somebody responds to this, you know, generous photo of us tipping $5,000, which didn't happen, listener, in case you haven't caught on yet. So somebody tweets Yolanda and says, where do you live where a week's worth of groceries costs $5,000?
I think it's a good question.
I live in one of the most expensive countries in Europe, and that math makes no sense. Yolanda responds, I live in the U.S. and my children get a rotisserie chicken each for dinner because I am a loving parent. I'm sorry you can't relate.
That's funny.
So she's just trolling him back, right? Then somebody else, where do you shop? Yolanda responds, I shop at Whole Foods because I am anti-GMO. My kids are picky eaters, so I have to throw away 60% of what I buy. I keep a variety in stock because I love them.
I mean, she's doubling down.
I love that this person behind the account is just a 26-year-old guy from Scotland, of all places, trolling Americans on Twitter, and had to give him my best week winner ever for Yolanda Pfister.
So good. I love their account. They're hilarious.
They're just two hilarious women that, like, I would not have guessed them to be that way. Don't want to, like, profile, but, like, I think they're a breath of fresh air, and just their little videos of people, I guess their Yelp reviews that they're reading off about people just being pissed off of their movement and they're liberal, they're not like on the right side or whatever, their comments of whatever they get for their show. But yeah, I love these two ladies and they're hilarious, and I love that they like gave their kudos to Yolanda Fister.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they're fantastic. I never watched the show on Bravo when it was on, but I think they're so funny. And I think that, you said you don't want to profile. I'll be very honest with you. I'm out here profiling. It's very hard for me. Just like it's hard for me sometimes to like watch a show that is like Hoorah Army or the way the American flag makes me nervous. Sometimes I get around blonde women in of the South from, like in their 40s, and I'm like, I wonder what your views are about me. You know what I mean? I'm sure you're very nice, but like I wonder how you vote, right? And I think like to some people they might think that that's like fucked up of me, but to me that stuff matters. So it does matter to me how you vote. It does. You could be as nice to me as you want, but I am somebody who cares about those things. So I also totally get that, but like that is why also why they are so unbelievably refreshing is because they are totally not that. And they're totally like liberal and understanding and very vocal about it. And they're just so funny. Like I love them. They're hilarious.
I'm always side-eyeing. Like, I'm sorry, guys. It's like, I know there's resting bitch face. I'm always looking sideways at people. Like, I'm side-eyeing you always. And I don't mean to, but it's just how I was raised. It's how New Jerseyans are in North Jersey as well. We're like you're nice, but are you kind, you know? But
Yeah.
yeah, no, I have to say thank you for introducing me to these two ladies, because I've been listening and it's been like a great listen.
Oh, awesome.
So we are now at the end of the show where I ask my guests what their favorite song is. I love that you had Mr. Brightside by The Killers last time you were here. And now we're going to talk about 2008. Think 500 Days of Summer, guys. Sweet Dust Position from Temper Trap. Please tell me, where were you when you first heard this song, and why is it your favorite?
Okay, I have no idea where I was when I first heard this song, but it is a song that like it's like an instant makes me happy song. It's like an instant good time song. It's like it's a song that if I'm in a bad mood can make me happy, and it's a song if I'm like a little bit sad can make me sob. It's just such a good song, and it's like one of those songs that instantly gives me goosebumps, and it's also a song that I used in my wedding. So like it just means a lot to me. I don't know why. Like, and I re it recently, it's so funny because like you had sent me an email being like, pick a song from the or whatever. I think it's like 2000s, right? That's your favorite. So I was like, man, I like couldn't think of it. And I was just like shuffling through my Apple Music or whatever. And it just like came up and I was like, oh, of course. Of course this is it. So like I think I may have even emailed you like randomly to tell you that like this is a song that I picked because it recently resurfaced, and also I found a piano version of it on TikTok or on Instagram. And in March, I went to London and Paris with my family, and so I made like a little highlight of like our trip. And so I used that like piano music. It's like a piano version of Sweet Disposition,
I
and
love
it's
that.
so now it has like a second meaning to it for me. Like it's now associated with this like really lovely trip I took with like my mom and my in-laws and my kids to like London and Paris. So like I also think about it from my wedding, but I also think about it as like raising kids, and like I will listen to that song at least once a day now. So I actually appreciate you for like resurfacing it back into my life.
It is a life-changing song, like whatever phase you're going through, whatever life moment. Like, yeah, that song is just so great to put on.
Yes.
Low key, when I first heard the song, it was in the summer. I almost crashed my car. I was going through a very bad breakup, guys, to this song. But I love this song so much as well, because I was obsessed with the soundtrack of 500 Days of Summer, and this was definitely the one that was overplayed everywhere.
Oh, it's so good. And the lyrics are so good. Like, it's just such a, it's also such a summertime song. Don't you feel like it's such a summertime song? Like,
Yes, it
it's,
is. Because I want to wear like a tank top and dance and
yeah, or like just drive. Like, this, you know what I mean? It's like a very driving down the parkway in a tank top, or like iced coffee, kind of like window rolled down, sunglasses on that you got for like $10 from Old Navy. Your flip-flops, your Old Navy, white Old Navy flip-flops going down to the shore. It's like such a summertime song. And it's like a summertime song in your youth.
You literally took me all the way back, flashback to me driving Route 21. Because if you guys know, that is the place where you can smoke a J without the cops being on that highway. And this is what I mean when I say, like, yes, I almost crashed my car because I put this on so loud and like stoned. It was, yeah, so very like me in that age. But down the shore too, I would drive this everywhere in the summertime. It was so
Oh,
good.
it's so good.
Honor, thank you so much for being at my show. I'm so excited that you were able to come back on again. I hope you can come on a third and fourth and fifth visit. I have so much fun with you, by the way. Can
Oh.
you please let my listeners know where they can find you and if you have anything else to plug in?
Oh, I have nothing else to plug in besides my podcast, which is The Reality Is, and you can listen to everywhere podcasts are found. And you can find me on Twitter because I'm not calling it whatever the hell Elon wants to call it. You can find me there and on Instagram, and I guess also on Threads, which I don't really use, at The Reality Is Pod. I do want to say that I just looked at my notes and I forgot to mention one more person, which
Ooh.
is that Kylie Jenner got dumped, guys. By Timothée
Yeah,
Chalamet.
7 months of like little pictures of them here and there. I really don't know. I mean, the fact that was it you? Because I think I retweeted it where you were like, this isn't words. Like, is this English? The grab of what's his name? Travis Scott. I was like, yeah, because I'm not understanding a word. Is it a sentence? A
Travis
haiku.
Scott. It is a haiku, I think. Travis Scott dropped some bars in his latest song about Timothée Chalamet, and he calls him like Willy Wonka. And then he just said a bunch, like, I was like, I don't know this language. Like, I don't know. I don't understand. I just don't get it. And I feel like, you have those moments when you're younger where you're like, I'm always gonna know what young people are talking about. And then you get to like your late 30s and you're like, oh, I have no fucking idea. Like, I don't know. I don't know what any of these words mean.
I don't see the shade or the diss at all. Like,
I don't know enough. I don't know this language to know. I'm literally reading a different language. And also, good for, I guess, Timothy. Like, I don't know. I don't know if they were actually dating. Like, I just like can't. Can you even imagine that?
no, I think Timothy is like super stoked about this because he's like, I'm in a rap song now. Like, I've made it. Like, those Amazon Prime commercials, like, all that hard work that I pulled into this year, like, I'm in. Like, yeah, no,
Yes.
I think he's having a best week ever, Timothy Shell.
He's having a good week. Kylie, maybe not so much. Oh my God, I had another thing maybe to mention to you. Oh yeah, I was gonna say, the residents of the apartments or the office complexes near the Twitter headquarters were also having a really bad week because Elon decided to put like these giant bright X's that were like glowing all night long, and not just glowing, but like flashing all night long. So the people in the neighborhood were having a bad week, but then Elon also had a bad week because the city of San Francisco was like, no, you have to take those down. They forced him to take those down.
Especially the big X sign that they had, I heard that like it's not even safe for them to put that logo up there.
No.
I've been boycotting, like, just mentioning Elon at all on my podcast because he's just been like over and over ruining my great Twitter app. And I know people think it's a shitty app, but I've been there over a decade, guys. Like, I have a parasocial relationship with my Twitter account where it's kind of like a Finsta, and I just adore my algorithm. And yeah, he really did pull a number on us followers, users, because the site is not the same. I don't know if you've been getting the same kind of errors. Like, I like
yeah.
The search bar is just so shit now.
The search bar is dog shit. It's the worst. If you search something once on Twitter, like maybe 4 days ago, and then you try to find the search bar again to search for a new thing, it just takes you back to the search that you put in 4 days ago. It's so bad. Like, it's, I'm like, who is, and I work in tech, so it's like really confusing to me. Like, who is doing like the user acceptance testing here?
He's firing people thinking that he can do a better job when really he's just shitting on the app right now, like disrespecting all of us.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks so much for tuning in this week, guys. I hope you had a lot of fun chatting it up with me and Noor from Reality Is. Please look up on the show notes, follow her, and yeah, have fun because she is so much fun. Also, please, if you follow us on Instagram, share with a friend, share this episode with a friend, rate and review our podcast, and check out our Instagram at Best Week Ever Podcast so you can get in the know with our stories on who we're having for our guests this week, join in on some polls, and also just talk about pop culture. I know this week has been really tough in like the Beyonce LGBTQ community with O'Shea Sibley, who was horrifically murdered in a gas station parking lot for dancing to Beyonce. And I just can't believe that these words are coming out of my mouth. It is so devastating. The kid, guys, I have to say that again. The kid who committed this murder was 17. A kid, which it makes me really upset to know that there are teen boys, especially, I say this all the time about the Andrew Tate, and just like the misogyny is really going on a high level when it comes to like teen boys. I feel like I'm revisiting 1999 Woodstock era all over again with these teen boys just hating on love, hating on other people's happiness. Like, it's devastating. And just to hear all the news that came out about O'Shea Sibley, knowing how much of a light he was and how beautiful he was in the community when it came to dancing, voguing. I love that Beyonce paid tribute to him on her website, which is very profounding. I'm pretty sure, I mean, I have to be in Beyonce's shoes right now. If I were to hear like a fan of mine that has happened, I like, that's devastating. I feel bad for Beyonce. I feel bad for the community. I don't feel bad for this posse group, teen gang. Like, who are your parents? Seriously, honestly, like, what are we doing in today's culture with our kids? I know my child is just a toddler, and I'm always looking towards the future of like just watching out for her, because my parents sheltered me as a kid. I was super naive when I was living in New York City as an 18-year-old, and I was just gullible and super just influenced, you know, and I don't want the same thing for my daughter. I want her to have her eyes open to the real world, but also at the same time, like knowing that she is loved and she is safe within our family, our like close friends. 'Cause the world is fucking crazy, guys. I know this because I've been traveling since I left the house at 18, and I lived in Southeast Asia, and people talk about all the time about trafficking, and I'm like, guys, I've been seeing trafficking since 2011 in Cambodia. Child trafficking, the worst I've ever seen in my entire life, especially sex trafficking. And yeah, it's been around, and for all these people to just come out shouting like it's something new, it's something that is a movement. It's like, no, it's just like these traffickers are not savvy anymore. Everyone's very alert when it comes to social media, and everyone is just like, we are educating ourselves. So my heart goes out to O'Shea Sibley and the family and the friends, the community. Like, I am with you. I don't want this to be happening in my child's world. Like, this is not 19 fucking 50s. Like, we're fucking fighting against AI, aliens, Mother Nature when it comes to the ocean. Like, yeah, it's pretty devastating, guys, but I hope you guys are surrounding yourself with the people you love. If you or someone you know feels alone, please be there for them. And I'm not saying like be there for them as like let me help you. Like, just you existing there for them, knowing that you are giving them that space, like you're there when they are ready to talk. Like, just that alone does really help. And there's so many sources out there now that we can call and have people talk to. There's therapy. Like, therapy is now like reachable to our fingertips when 20 years ago it was just even tough to even talk about having a therapist, psychiatrist, going on antidepressants. I just hope you guys are safe and sound, and I love you guys, and I hope you guys are having a best week ever. Won't stop.